Good morning, everybody, and thank you, everyone, for joining us to the 6th Annual Yeshiva University Kollel Yom Rishon program. First of all, a big thank you to Julie Schreier for all of her efforts, all of her work in making this event possible, and to arrange all the logistics that go into it. Perhaps if everyone can move up. The room is pretty big, and we're not that many people, so maybe if everyone can move up, we'll make it a little more comfortable. Today's shiur is sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas, two women, Macha Bas Menachem Manes, as well as Chinka Bas Alexander Mordechai. They should have an Aliyas HaNeshama from our Divrei Torah this morning. Our first speaker that we're privileged to hear is Rabbi Yaakov Glasser. Besides being a personal friend of mine and of many of ours here, Rabbi Glasser is the David Mitzner Dean of the Center for the Jewish Future and University Life at Yeshiva University. Rabbi Glasser serves as the Rebbe of Young Israel at Passaic Clifton, who just built a new building and is moving on to greater heights. Under his leadership, the congregation has grown dramatically and prides itself on the ideological and demographic diversity of its membership. Okay. Rabbi Glasser comes to Yeshiva with a rich background in Jewish communal and organizational life and held positions such as the Regional Director of New Jersey, NCSY, and the NCSY International Director of Education. Yeshiva University is now very blessed to have Rabbi Glasser, who brings a lot of life outside of the CJF, but he brings a lot of life to the students, to many of the Rabbanim in the field, and it's a great privilege and a kavod to have him here with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schachter. I reciprocate the Akaras HaTov. It is a privilege to be here this morning. It's actually, I grew up in Los Angeles, so it was always a dream of mine to speak in the five towns. It is a wonderful opportunity to be here. I think you just cut me off over there. That's all right. It is a wonderful opportunity to be here. I want to thank Rabbi Billet, Rabbi Axelrod, for opening your shul and your community to Yeshiva University, to of course acknowledge the hard work of Julie Schreier in all that she does to connect the community to YU and to further nurture that wonderful relationship. I also want to acknowledge Menachem Lewin, who's here this morning, who works very, very hard throughout YU on many of the projects and programs that we find ourselves involved with. Should I use the mic? Should I not use the mic? What's the... We like the mic. Okay. If it goes out, there's a piece over here. There's a magic... Okay. Beautiful. Okay. It is beautiful to be here. It's such a beautiful Beis HaKnesses. As Rabbi Shech mentioned, we've built a new shul in Passaic. It's also a Young Israel, the Young Israel of Passaic. Although I think this Young Israel could eat that Young Israel for lunch and still have room for Carlos and Gabby's, but it is a wonderful opportunity to be here. It's such a shul and a community that has such a shame in Tiferes for its commitment to Limud HaTorah, to Chesed, to community activism, and it's really a privilege for me to be here. What I'd like to talk about this morning is already to bring us into the world of Hanukkah, as we find ourselves reflecting on this Thanksgiving morning, all of the different things that we're thankful for. We also begin to feel the momentum leading us towards the celebration of Hanukkah. If you look at the source packet, I hope everyone has a source packet at source number 1 and 2. The symbol of the menorah and the experience of Hanukkah is iconic in Jewish life. There is virtually no other holiday that is celebrated by as many Jews. In fact, every demographic study confirms that Hanukkah is observed by more Jews than any other holiday. There are more Jews lighting Hanukkah candles than observing Yom Kippur, than having a Pesach Seder. It is ubiquitous throughout Jewish life. And the menorah, as a symbol of Jewish strength, as a symbol of Jewish power, as a symbol of the Jews' capacity to overcome adversity, to overcome challenge, to rise above expectations and assumptions of the world around them, is certainly one that resonates throughout Jewish life. We know that on the Arch of Titus, which immortalizes the triumph of the Roman Empire over the Jewish people, one of the symbols that is accentuated beyond all others is, of course, the symbol of the menorah. And that symbol is in and of itself internalized into the future of the Jewish people, as when the state of Israel was established and they were searching for a symbol to capture the majesty and the positivity and the aspirations of the Jewish people that would radiate through the experience of establishing a state of Israel. They turned towards the symbol of the menorah. And the menorah not only stands in it, all its majesty, proclaiming the victory of the Jewish people in front of the Knesset, but it is, of course, enshrined in the seal of the state of Israel, and it captures our sense of the miraculous reality that we live through today. It is, of course, also a symbol of the future. Who has not had the opportunity to walk down the stairs towards the plaza of the Kotel and to see that beautiful, gigantic, golden menorah where you stand and you take pictures while a lady comes over to you and tries to sell you red string, promising fame, fortune, and success, as you look at her and see that she's holding thousands of red strings and does not seem to be enjoying that particular blessing, but nevertheless, you stand, we take the pictures, we have the hope, we have the dream, this will be the menorah, this is the symbol, this is what they put in front of the stairs leading down to the Kotel. Not the recreation of the Shulchan or the Mizbeach, the recreation of the menorah. And the menorah is something that's known throughout the world. I remember when I was, as I mentioned, I grew up in Los Angeles, so I had the opportunity once to be the head counselor of a camp in Big Bear, California. It's a little bit west of L.A., and we had taken over a YMCA facility. A YMCA, the Young Men's Chavrusa Association, right? The YMCA, with the song and the letters. And so we show up at the YMCA, and we begin to set up the whole camp. And all of a sudden, as we're driving up, myself and the director, we see that at the entrance to this camp is a gigantic, like 9-foot cross. So we're looking at this cross, and we're thinking to ourselves, okay, in 2.5 weeks, we're going to have visiting day. And 200 Orthodox Jewish parents are going to drive up to this camp, and greeting them at the entrance, Bruchim Abaim, is not, you know, welcome to Camp Marashah with the color war and the excitement and all the symbols of Judaism, but is a giant cross. So we walk over to the director of the camp, whose name is Reverend Mike, a wonderful fellow, and I say to him, Reverend Mike, we have to do something about this cross at the entrance to the camp. Because I'm very respectful, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's a nice cross, it's very symmetrical, it's, you know, 9 amos by 9 amos, got all the right shiurim, it's radiating, it's beautiful, I have nothing against it, but just so you know, when everybody comes up to see the camp, this is not gonna fly, is it okay if we cover the cross? So he says to me, absolutely not. It's a priestess that covered to the cross. You can't cover a cross. There's a Tysus in Yevamos that says if you cover the cross, you can't cover the cross. So I said to him, we have to do something because this isn't going to work. So all of a sudden, this Reverend Mike goes walking off with his assistant, John. Let's call him John. And they go walking off and they come back towards the front of the camp and they're carrying wood and they're carrying nails. So I'm getting very nervous. And I say to him, you know, you don't have to get all medieval. You know, I'm a Vatican tunic. Everything is wonderful. We can all get along. Everything is beautiful. And he says, no, 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 Rabbi. I've had this all figured out. So I said, what are you going to do? So he says, so you see the cross? I said, yeah. He goes, we're going to put a piece of wood here, 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 and here. Menorah. So I said to him, you're going to make a menorah out of the cross? He said, sure. And Kachava, when everyone drove up to the camp, there was this big, giant, beautiful menorah with a very accentuated shamus and bass. And it welcomed to Camp West, and everyone was happy. But, you know, you begin to think about, why is it that this non-Jewish, he was actually a priest, automatically pivots to the menorah as the symbol, as the icon of Jewish life, that it's so integrated, not only into our own culture, but into general culture as a symbol, as something that captures the reality of Jewish life, that it radiates our values in such a significant way. And we know that Hanukkah itself and the lighting of the menorah is a very special and unique and central dimension of Jewish ritual. Because in fact, the lighting of the menorah requires a balance
a balance between the values, the internal values of the home, and our mandate to radiate those values to the outside world. You can't fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neros Chanukah unless there's a home within which those candles can radiate from which those candles can radiate. But you also are not yotzei the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles. If you light the menorah, ad shetich l'regel min hashuk, if you light it after, there is a public opportunity for people to witness the Neros Chanukah. There is a dynamic, there is an interface between the internal world of the home, between the values that define the uniqueness and particularity of the Jewish people, and our goal, our ultimate aspiration to project those values to the outside world. Where is the first time that the menorah begins to take on a unique identity? Where does the menorah begin to assert itself beyond all of the other kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, beyond all of the other ritual objects that name our observant life as something unique, as something special? So if you turn to source number 3, you will find the psukim at the beginning of Parshas Baaloscha. Parshas Baaloscha is situated immediately after Parshas Naso. In Parshas Naso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe in how to inaugurate the Mishkan, in the involvement and in the contributions of all of the Nesiim, their karbanos, the configuration of their karbanos. And then by Yedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe, and he says to him, Daber el Aharon, speak to Aharon, ve'amarta elof, and you should say to him, Ve'ha'aloscha es haneros, when you ignite, when you arise those neros, el mul pinei haminora, ya'iru shivas haneros. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides Aharon with a particular directive to engage in the lighting of the menorah. So Rashi on this pasuk immediately cites a very famous medrash in source number 4. Rashi writes, "Lama nismicha parshas haminora liparshas hanesiim." Why does the Torah juxtapose the commandment for Aaron to light the menorah to the experience of the inauguration of the Mishkan through the Nesiim? Lifi kishira Aaron, because when Aaron saw Chanukas HaNesiim, when Aaron saw the experience, the program, the how it is that it played out, the Chanukas HaNesiim, Chosha Azdato, he became very depressed, he became very upset, Shalohoya Imoyim B'Chanukah, because when you read through Parshas Naso, you will find that Aaron's Shevet and Aaron himself plays no role in the inauguration of this new edifice, of this new Mishkan. Right, we just dedicated a new Beis HaKnesses. In our case, I think the community was more excited about the destruction of our old one than the inauguration of the new one. But we just dedicated a new Beis HaKnesses, and you have a program. Rabbis speak, presidents speak, donors speak. Obviously, the leader of the congregation speaks. Who would imagine having a dedication without Aaron? So Chosha Azdato. So Omer Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Chayecha, I buy your life. Shelcha gedola mishelahem. Recognize that even though you have not been integrated into the normative contributions towards the inauguration of the Mishkan, you have a role to play that transcends all of them. She'ata madlik umeitiv es haneros. Because you are going to be entrusted with kindling and native and maintaining es haneros, the neros of the menorah. And this is why, says Rashi, Baaloscha appears immediately in the aftermath of Parshas Naso. The Ramban looks at this Medrash, looks at this Rashi, and he says, what are you talking about? V'lo nisbarer li, Chanukas HaMenorah, the Hadlokas HaMenorah? That's what you're saying distinguishes Aaron HaKohen's role from the rest of the Jewish people when it comes to the world of the Mishkan? Aaron was involved, as the Ramban explains, in bringing the Ketores every day, all the Karbonos, Minchas Chavitin, the special Menachos that were attributed to the Kohanim, Uva Avodas Yom HaKippurim, She'enok Sheira Elabo, and the Avod of Yom HaKippurim, which could only be accomplished through the medium of a Kohen Gadol, through Aaron HaKohen himself. The Nichnas Lefnai B'Lefnim, Aaron HaKohen enjoys an intimacy and an access to the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam that is well beyond measure of any of these Nesiim. And something that everyone would be jealous of. Vishu Kadosh Hashem Omed Beichol L'Sharso L'Varech Bishmo. He stands in the Heichol. He blesses in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vishifto Kulo M'Sharse Elokeinu. His entire Shevet is dedicated to the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'Ol Matam L'Chalisha Sadasazu. V'Alo Karbono Gadol Mishel Nesiim. What do you mean you have nothing to do with this? How in the world did all of these different Karbonos occur?
Hello?
How in the world did all of these different korbanos occur? Of course they involved the facilitation of the Kohan. Of course they involved the contribution of Aaron HaKohen. What do you mean, Chol Sha'az Dato Shel Aaron, and that's satisfied by him lighting the menorah? That should be, first of all, Aaron has no reason to be jealous, so you weren't given a special role in the Chanukas HaMishkan. You should be mollified by being allowed to light the menorah. There are so many aspects of the maintenance and the experience of this Mishkan that are rooted in the exclusivity of your role, of your contribution. Karbanos Yom Kippurim, who Veloshon Hazeh says in the next paragraph, Matzisai Metziyase B'Megillah Estar Merabbeinu Nisim Sheizkar Hagadu Azu Ve'Omar Ra'isi B'Medrash Kevin Sheikrivu Shneimas Oshvatim Lo Ikrim Shevi Levi Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Dabar Aaron. So he quotes another source for this Medrash. But the Ramban suggests that the placating of Aaron was not with respect to the ongoing light of the menorah, because if it was a dimension of the Mishkan experience that was normative, that was constant, God would have chosen something more significant, more central, more spectacular, but rather Yesh Chanukah Acheres. But rather, Aaron, if you are depressed that you are not involved in the notion of infusing something new, in the notion of establishing a new moment of connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, that you want to be part of, you want to be embedded in the experience of Chanukas HaMishkan, there will be another Chanukas HaMishkan, Sheyesh Bo Hadlokas HaNeros, that will center around a miracle of Hadlokas HaNeros, Va'ani Osobo Yisrael Al Yedei Bonecha, Nisim V'Teshua V'Chanukah Shekuria Al Shamam, V'Chanukas B'nei Chashmonoi. You should know, Aaron HaKohen, that there's going to be in the future of the Jewish people another transitional moment, another transformational moment, where it's not a Mishkan that's established, but an entire Beis HaMikdash that is substantiated. And that Beis HaMikdash, that miracle will come about as a result of the efforts and the investments and the role of your descendants. And so therefore, Ba'alos Chasaneros, Chol Sha'az Dato Shel Aaron, Aaron wanted to be involved in establishing a Mishkan, not just maintaining a Mishkan, not just an ongoing role in the Mishkan. Aaron wanted to have a chelik, he wanted to have a role in setting it up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you will have a role setting it up. You'll have a role in setting it up at the ultimate experience of Hanukkah. So that's the opinion of the Ramban. As Rashi explains, Rashi maintains, like the general Medrash, that really Aaron's role was this Chanukas, really Aaron's role was this lighting the Hadlokas HaMenorah, was lighting the menorah. So the challenge to this interpretation of Rashi emerges when we begin to consider the nature of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. We know that they lit the menorah every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. It symbolized Tor Shebaal Peh. It symbolized the radiating capacity of the Beis HaMikdash to illuminate the world, that it's not just a concentrated space of spirituality, but that our spaces of spirituality are ultimately designed to bring to the rest of the world a sense of illumination, a moral ideal, a value system. However, when it comes to the technicalities of the running of that mikdash, of the role of the Kohanim, we find a very fascinating halacha. The Gemara in Yuma tells us, L'chayiv l'hadlaka lav avodahi, that some things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash had the status of an avoda, had the status of a formal service of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, as a formal service of the Beis HaMikdash, required, necessitated the involvement, the engagement of a Kohen. However, there were other things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash which did not enjoy the status of a formal avoda. Things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash in order to effectuate a result, but nevertheless, the action itself was not considered part and parcel of the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. It facilitated something to happen, but it wasn't integral in and of itself. One of the experiences in the Mikdash that the Gemara says is not considered an avodah is the Hadlokas HaMenorah. The Hadlokas HaMenorah does not have the status of an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So not only in contrast to, let's say, Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which needs a Kohen Gadol, the Hadlokas HaMenorah was something that pragmatically had to occur in order for the menorah to be lit, in order to satisfy that expectation of the Mikdash environment, but the act of lighting the menorah was not considered an avoda. And the Balei HaTosis, when they read this Gemara, inquire, as you see in source number 7, in the end of the first line, Teima l'Rav Yosef kevin da'adlok alav avodahi, amayk siv ba b'kohen. He says, it doesn't make any sense. You're saying that the hadlaka in the Mikdash is not considered a formal part of the avodah space HaMikdash, and yet it is identified more closely with the Kohen than any other avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the Tosis Yishanim's question. And if you turn to the next page, the Ridva, well, the Ridva writes that Tmiya Milsa, Doksiv ba Aaron ubanav, Daber al Aaron ve ubanav lemor ba'alos chasaneros, Uksiv ba'alos ba'alos Aaron esaneros. There are textual proofs to the notion that Aaron has a special relationship to the menorah, to the hadlokas haneros. V'yesh lomar de lahachi lo afke b'loshen chiyuv, v'amar b'ha'alos u'b'ha'aloscha. So says the Ritva, that the Torah specifically formulates the mandate to light the menorah in a more passive conjugation, that when you will do this, when this happens, and not in the disposition of a command, lomar de lav avodahi l'chayev aleha miso bizar. And that's what the Ritva introduces, that it's not considered an avoda, and therefore, if a zar, maybe it should be done by a kohen, but if a zar, which literally means stranger, someone who's not a kohen, if I, who am Yisroel, were to walk into the Mikdash and light the menorah, so if I were to perform any other avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, I would have a chiyuv misa. We put that person to death. That is a violation of the clear roles that the Torah delineates in constructing the environment and the service of the Mikdash. And so therefore, the Kohanim have their role, the Levim have their role, the Yisraelim have their role. If Yisrael tries to usurp the role of the Kohen, there's a Chiyuv Misa, the Rambam says, at the beginning of Hilchas Bias HaMikdash in Perek Tes. But when it comes to the world of Hadlokas HaMenorah, if lighting the menorah is not considered an avoda, if it's not considered a formal part of the Mikdash service, so therefore, if someone who's not a Kohen goes ahead and lights the menorah, they are not Chayiv Misa. And this is how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam writes, V'chein Hadlokas Ksheira Bizarim, in source number 9, that the lighting of the menorah in the Mikdash is kosher bizar, which leads to the following question. How is it possible that, as Rashi suggests, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Aaron and says to Aaron, you have a Chalisha Sadas, that you weren't involved in the spectacular experience of inaugurating the Mishkan. Don't worry, Shelchol Gedola Mishelaem. Your role is greater than their role. She'ata Madlik Umeitiv Esaneros. Because you are going to light and you are going to maintain the Neros. However, we can inquire, what do you mean you're going to light and maintain the Neros? The halacha is, we don't need you. We don't need a Kohen to light the menorah. If you don't need a Kohen to light the menorah, how is the lighting of the menorah a compensating experience for Aaron HaKohen relative to his omission for the rest of the experience of Chanukah HaMishkan? Because you have the opportunity to light the menorah. It's an opportunity. You can do it, so could a Yisrael, so could a Levi, so could anybody. So what do you mean, Shalchal Gedola Mishelahem? That's our first question. Our next question is based on the next statement of the Rambam. The Rambam writes the following, Lefichach, see, we have a problem. Because if we're going to permit a Zara to light the menorah is situated where in the Mikdash? V'iliko Neros, Bechatzros Kodshecha. Right? The menorah is in the Chatzar. Is a Zor, is a Yisrael allowed to walk into the Chatzar? Absolutely not. So the question is, how does the Yisrael even get in to light the menorah? What do you mean a Zor can light the menorah? How does he get there? So says the Rambam anticipates this problem, and he writes, Lefichach, therefore, im heitiv akohen es haneros, if the Kohen prepares the neros, v'hotzion lichutz, and he carries the menorah outside the Mikdash, mutter lezar lahadlikon. It's permitted to allow a zar to be malik. We always have this image right, from all the illustrations of the stairs leading up to the menorah, and the Kohen in his big day kahuna, walking up to the menorah, kindling the candles. That's our image that we have immortalized of Hadlakas HaNeros in the Mishkan. Says the Rambam, it doesn't have to work that way. The Kohen could position the candles in the menorah. The Kohen take the menorah, carry it outside the Mikdash, and here's a wonderful fundraising opportunity. You allow somebody who you're trying to get them, imagine, they can literally light the menorah of the Pesach Mikdash, and you carry it outside the walls. You let this individual come up, and they bring their whole family, and there are pictures, and there's a plaque, and everyone's so excited. They make the bracha, they light the menorah, everybody feels like they had a major contribution. The Kohen brings the menorah back in, and that is Hadlakas HaMenorah for the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam says that is absolutely permissible, that you are allowed to do this. The question that is raised by a number of different Mefarshim is, how could the Rambam take this position? First of all, just on a practical standpoint, that does not resonate with us as the way in which we imagine Hadlakas HaMenorah should happen. You're moving the menorah back and forth, but there's a halachic problem as well. Because the Gemara debates in Shabbos, in Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara has a debate. Hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah? The Gemara asks, what is the essence of the mitzvah to light the menorah? Is it to light the candle, hadlaka osa mitzvah, or is it hanacha osa mitzvah? To place it somewhere where it is appropriate for it to fulfill the mitzvah. So for example, let's say the best window in my home in order to radiate the Hanukkah candles outside to the world is all the way high up and my children can't reach. So instead of putting them on ladders and doing all sorts of crazy things so that they could have the chance to light the menorah that the preschool teacher had them make without any conscious of safety or practicality or the fact that they break off in the first night and then there's a temper tantrum, right? That they're putting the menorah up there. So what can you do? So you take the menorah down into a place where, let's say, in your dining room table where you would not light a menorah. You light it there and then you place it where it's kosher to be in the window. So the Gemara has a suffix. Does that work or not? Do we say hadlaka osa mitzvah, that the mitzvah is to light it? Or do we say hanacha osa mitzvah? We don't care how you lit it, as long as it's situated somewhere where it needs to be. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, in fact, it's the title of this siman in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 11, shehadlaka osa mitzvah. That we paskin, hadlaka osa mitzvah. You're not permitted to do that. You need to light the menorah in the space where it is kosher for it to be lit. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. So asks all the Mefarshim on the Rambam, how could you suggest that we carry the menorah outside the Beis HaMikdash, light it there, and then bring it back in? This presumes the principle of hanacha osa mitzvah. That you can light the menorah in a place that is not kosher for its... It can't stay there. You can't light the menorah outside and then just keep it there. That would not fulfill Hadlakas HaMenorah. It needs to be situated in the Mikdash. Ya'ir el mul p'nei HaMenorah has to be in the Mikdash. So asks everyone on the Rambam, how is this possible? The halacha is, in Hilchas Chanukah, Hadlaka osa mitzvah. Hilchas Chanukah presumably is patterned after what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore, if in the Beis HaMikdash, if in Hilchas Chanukah we require one to light it in a space where it's kosher for it to achieve its goal, so certainly when we are patterning after the Mikdash, that's what we would expect to find in the source of the Mikdash itself. And the Minchas Chinuch builds this question even further, because the Gemara tells us that we have a special limud that permits us to light the menorah on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Minchas Chinuch wants to know, according to the Rambam's magic tour of menorah moving, like, we don't have to do that, because we could light the menorah outside the Mikdash before Shabbos, and then once Shabbos begins, we could carry it into the Mikdash, and now we've been able to fulfill the mitzvah of Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, positioning the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash without violating the laws of Shabbos. And so says the Minchas Chinuch, I don't understand this approach of the Rambam. Many of the Mefarshim ask, I don't understand how the Rambam could suggest such a thing. So these are our two questions. One more on the narrative, and the other a little bit more halachic. Number one, how is it possible that a Kadosh Baruch Hu provides the lighting of the menorah as the compensating experience for Aaron when it doesn't necessitate Aaron. It doesn't need Aaron. It could be done by someone else. And number two, how is it possible that this entire experience of lighting the menorah in this very strange way is halakhically satisfactory when we know that lighting the menorah requires a kindling act that is formal and that is satisfying to all halakhic expectations? So if you turn to the next source, and that is the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma tells us the following insight. The Meshech Chachma tells us, Hinei biyuma, he quotes the Gemara, Amru hadlaka lab avoda v'kshera bizar, that the hadlaka is not part of the avoda, and it's kosher bizar. V'hikshu b'tosas yishanim, and he quotes the Tosas Yishanim that we saw, that it says, Aaron, v'nira mishum b'tznan, hei mechanchem es amenorah, ela b'nero shal b'in arbayim, then he quotes the Rashi, that we saw, that Aaron was so sad, that they were mischanech the Mishkan through the Nesiim, Chol Shaz Dato, Kshalohayu Imayim Bechanaka, Lohu Velo Shifto, so Amalah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Shalcha Gidola Mishalohem, that yours is greater than theirs, She'ata Madleku Meitiv Esaneros, and that's the quote from Rashi. So the Meshech Chachma provides a very innovative interpretation. The Meshech Chachma says that when God told Aaron that this is something special that's unique to you, V'zeh lechanech ha-menorah b'pa'am harishona tziva Aaron lahalos u'lahadlik. Exactly the opposite of the Ramban. Says the Meshech Chachma, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron, shocha gedolu mishelahem, he doesn't mean that your job is to light the menorah forever in the Beis HaMikdash. If he wanted to pick something that was unique to his relationship to the Beis HaMikdash, he would have chosen the Ketores, the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Yom Kippur. He means right now, right now. You need to appreciate the notion that the very first time we light the menorah, the very first time the Mishkan Hashem becomes an object that cannot just concentrate within, that doesn't just inspire those that are here, but that radiates that influence and that impact beyond its walls, the illuminating dimension of Yiddishkeit, that is something that will be initiated by you, but only the first time. And so therefore, the Meshech Chachma's Mechadesh, that even though we say that a zar is mutter b'hadlaka saneros, even though we say you could take the menorah out and they could light it and bring it back in, there was a one-time exception to that rule. And that one-time exception was the very first time we did it. The very first time Aaron lights the menorah, it is hadlaka osa mitzvah, it is only Aaron, he's the only one that could do it, and therefore, shalcha gedola mishelahem. Yes, they brought korbanos, but you are going to initiate the role of the Mishkan as a radiating and illuminating experience for the rest of the world. Aval ledoros, says the Meshech Chachma, but for generations, ksiv yaroch oso Aaron. You know what your role is? You're a facilitator. Rak hasidur v'hahatova lo hahadlaka. Your role is to be mesader the menorah, to be meitiv the menorah, but not the hadlaka. The hadlaka could be done by anybody else. So perhaps we could suggest the following: that even though the halachic framework relative to hadlaka sa menorah requires hadlaka osa mitzvah only the first time, and for the rest of the Beis Hamikdash experience, lidoros, it could be hanacha osa mitzvah, that you could just facilitate it. Perhaps the holiday of Chanukah is not patterned after the general expectations of the Beis Hamikdash. The general expectations of the Beis Hamikdash is anyone can light the menorah, hanacha osa mitzvah. But when we're celebrating the moment in Jewish history when the Chashmonaim re-enter the Beis Hamikdash and reinvigorate it with the vitality and vibrancy of Mikdash Hashem, we are not recreating a moment in the generic maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. We are recreating a moment of initiation in the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps what the Meshech Chachma is telling us is that whenever you initiate the Beis HaMikdash, so that's an exceptional situation. And there we require hadlaka osa. And that is why Aaron HaKohen, you are entrusted with lighting the menorah only this one time, but in perpetuity. When we immortalize the experience of the Chashmonaim, we do so patterned after that one singular time, after that one singular moment. that one exceptional moment where the menorah had to be lit proactively and in an investment-oriented way from the Kohen himself. And therefore, hadlaka oseh mitzvah. And this is one of the messages of Hanukkah that is very relevant and resonant for our generation. The notion of rededication. Hanukkah is not a chag that celebrates the initiation of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a chag that celebrates the initiation of the Beis HaMikdash. Hanukkah is a holiday that celebrates the reinvigoration of the Beis HaMikdash. When you are initiating something, there is a momentum of inspiration that is natural to the experience. It's the first time. It's spectacular. It's amazing. It's unbelievably overwhelming. But when you are rededicating, so when you are trying to introduce inspiration and meaning into something that's already become familiar, something that everyone knows about, so that requires not just simply reintroducing that which you had before to pattern after its normative experience, but it requires a sense of investment. Hadlakas osim mitzvah. This is a great challenge for us as we raise a generation that is growing up with so much. Look what they grow up with. They don't have to build this. They get to be born into this. I live in Passaic, New Jersey. So in Passaic, New Jersey, we have a very large Balei Tshuva community. Beautiful, wonderful, amazing people. And I very often end up in conversations with some of them as they have certain specific struggles with raising their children. So I was talking with a very fascinating woman the other day. She was telling me how distraught she was that her 9-year-old was not more inspired about Judaism. And I was trying to tell her how normal it was that her 9-year-old was not inspired about Judaism. So I said, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "You know, I told him about all the Bible codes and the 7 levels of pleasure, and you know, I let him listen to all the tapes from Rav Noach, and I don't know, it's not working, it's not." And there was a disconnect between the experience of bringing in Yiddishkeit for the very first time and the challenge of growing up with it and invigorating it with a sense of meaning and purpose. These are two completely different experiences. And when you are reinvigorating something, when you are rededicating something, when you are making something more meaningful that already is there, that you don't have the fresh experience. I was a regional director of NCSY for 15 years. So kids used to come to my house for Shabbos all the time. So when Shabbos would be over, we would stand as a family and make Havdalah, and the kids would always be like, "What is this?" And I'd be like, "You know, we don't have a band in our home when we make Havdalah and tell Holocaust stories. You know that in our home, we make Havdalah, and then we fight over who cleans out the chilling pot, because that's what it means to be from." Right? There's a sense of the magic is the magic, but how do you bring the magic into a world that's already experiencing it on a day-to-day level? How do you reinvigorate? And that's one of the messages of Hanukkah, of the world of hadlaka osem mitzvah. The ability to create illumination, new experiences, fresh perspectives, opportunities to grow, opportunities to make a difference, opportunities to make an impact, opportunities to be madlik, opportunities to ignite. This is one of the great challenges that we have, because the generation that came before us had the excitement and the enthusiasm of building everything. And now it's our job, Lidoros, to be meitiv v'saneros. What's our job? To try to help and make sure that the Orthodox community doesn't go bankrupt. Wow, that's really exciting, right? That's not something that's invigorating. That's not something that says, "I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of..." The challenge that exists in front of us is to create moments and opportunities, both within the home and without, for another generation to feel, to experience what it means to make an impact, what it means to be madlik as aneiros. But I also want to reflect on our other question. Our other question was, how is this unique to Aaron? So the Mishnah in Avos tells us the following about Aaron HaKohen, and I'd like to make the following suggestion. The Mishnah tells us, Hillel v'shamay kiblu mehim, Hillel omer, hevi mitalmidov shel Aaron. One should be like the Talmidim of Aaron. Oev shalom, virodev shalom, oev es abrios umekarvin latorah. That Aaron HaKohen was the quintessential outreach personality. Aaron HaKohen was accessible. Aaron HaKohen was somebody that people felt that they could approach, that people felt that they could become close to. Oev shalom, virodev shalom, oev es abrios umekarvin latorah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Aaron, and it's the Chanukas HaMishkan. So I'd like to suggest that perhaps Aaron's consternation is really emanating from a different place. It's not about the jealousy of the Nasi, that they got to do something I didn't get to do. It's actually a much more inner conflict, a more existential conflict that's taking place within Aaron himself. Because you see, Aaron went into the world of Jewish communal service not to be a controlling, dominating leader. Aaron is someone that leads not top-bottom, he's someone who leads bottom-up. Aaron is someone that cultivates relationships with people. He's someone that looks for and searches and discovers the greatness within people. He's someone who has the capacity to awaken potential within people. Aaron is the Oev HaSabrios Mekarvin LaTorah. He's standing now at the moment of Chanukah HaMishkan. And what is going through his mind? What's going through his mind is that at this point in time, my role in Klal Yisrael is about to transition to a very different place. Because the Mishkan is all about boundaries with the Jewish people. The Mishkan is about inaccessibility. You're not allowed to walk into the Mishkan. The Mishkan is only accessible to the Kohanim, to the Kohen Gadol, to Aaron HaKohen. The Mishkan is about the fact that the Kohen Gadol has to be alone in Yom HaKippurim. And this is completely contrary to Aaron's natural leadership disposition. Aaron HaKohen is somebody who is immersed within the people. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to him, we're about to inaugurate the Mishkan. We're about to launch a new phase of Jewish history. And he looks around. You know what he sees? He sees that all of the Nesiim get to be part of this larger experience. Whereas he, Aaron, he somehow has been separated from this experience. And Aaron's interpretation of that directive is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking him to now transition his attitude, his approach to how he reaches people to a much more top-down. Now you're the Kohen Gadol. Now no one could be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with you. Now you're supposed to reach the people, they come to you, and you're in this lofty world of accentuated spirituality, and you manage all of their karbanos and all of the communication between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Aaron is looking at this and saying to himself, Chol sha'azdato shel Aaron, lo hu v'lo shifto. He wants to be with them. He wants to be with the Nesiim. Aaron HaKohen wants to be with the people. He doesn't want to be part of this elitist culture of the Mikdash. He wants to be back to where the world was. That's for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, his brother, is the one that climbs the mountain and he doesn't eat and he doesn't drink and no one can look at his face. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the inaccessible. Panim el panim, lokam ke Moshe. No one could ever be like Moshe. That's his brother. His role is the opposite. Aaron's a man of the people. Aaron doesn't want this. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him. Aaron, you are completely misunderstanding your role in the Beis HaMikdash. Shelcha gedola mishelohem. Why, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? She'ata madliku meitev esaneros. You see, Aaron, your role in the Mikdash is not to dominate the spiritual experience of the Jewish people. Your role in the Mikdash is to empower and ignite and inspire the experience of spirituality within the Jewish people. Your role in the Mikdash, as the Rambam says, is to take the menorah from inside the Mikdash, prepare it, consecrate it, facilitate it, and then bring it outside the Mikdash. So what can happen? So another Jew can light that fire themselves. Your role in the Mikdash is not to sit in the lofty world of spirituality and kachim and taros. Your role is to figure out how to take this world and bring it to the people. Your role is to empower and inspire and instill within them a sense of motivation, a sense of desire, a sense of aspiration. The Avos de Rabbi Nosson writes in source number 14 that Aaron HaKohen's approach to dealing with people was that he would meet people on the street and he would, without any strings attached, greet them, talk with them, schmooze with them, without caring who they were. It says the Avos Rabbi Nosson, when those individuals would subsequently consider doing something wrong, they would say to themselves, Oily, how could I do this? Nosson li shalom, because Aaron greeted me, meaning Aaron believes in me. Aaron thinks I'm a person. Aaron thinks I'm worthy. Aaron thinks I'm somebody that he would allocate time and attention and love and investment and spirituality within. And that makes me want to be better. Rav Tzadok HaKohen would write that, you know, we have this concept of Kohanim in Jewish life. But the Torah tells us that the entire Jewish people are Mamleches Kohanim. Everyone's a Kohen. So what do you mean? Either everyone's a Kohen or they're the Kohanim. Which is it? So the answer is that the role of the Kohen in Jewish life is not to dominate the Jewish people. It's not to be the conduits of spirituality to God, you know, that we have to go through them. The role of the Kohen in Jewish life is to help every Jew discover the kahuna within themselves. That every Jew's a Kohen. And your job, Aaron, is to awaken that capacity within them. Your job, Aaron, is to show people that there's a greatness within them that they cannot access unless they are been able to, someone believed in them, someone thought that they could do it, someone was ready to bring the menorah to their life experience. And that's what it means, Shelchah Gedol Mishalah. And by the way, I believe that's the reason why when the Kohanim are duchening on Yontif, so we all know that we have to, we cover our eyes. We don't peek, right? Although, because we're told when we're kids that if we peek, what's going to happen? We'll go blind. Okay, so all of us have peeked. And but that's what we're told. We're told that something terrible will happen. Why can't we look at the Kohanim? Why can't we look at the Kohanim? So we all assume we can't look at the Kohanim because they're so spiritual. They're so great. You can't look at the Kohanim. But maybe that's not the reason. Maybe the reason we're not looking at the Kohanim is because Birkas Kohanim is not about the Kohanim. Birkas Kohanim is about us. Birkas Kohanim is about putting that talis or closing your eyes and looking inward and trying to discover and trying to extract and trying to find the spark of kahuna that's within ourselves. The capacity to lead, the capacity to make a difference, the capacity to contribute, the capacity to effectuate change, the capacity to serve, that exists within all of us. When the Kohanim stand up and they bless the Jewish people, that bracha is for us to find the kahuna within ourselves. And that's why, if you look at what tefillos do we say while they're doing Birkas Kohanim, while they're singing, or usually it's one guy singing very loudly and everyone off key, right? What do we say when they're doing Birkas Kohanim? We say tefillos about our dreams. What are we talking about dreams now? It's Birkas Kohanim. Let's have a good tefillah about refuah. Let's have a good tefillah about bina. The third one I think is about parnasa, but it's got names of angels you're not supposed to say, right? Why are we talking about dreams? And the answer is because within the dreams of every individual, one discovers the capacity for greatness. It's what you want to accomplish. And that is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Aaron, he says, Bahaloscha es aneirus, shelcha gidola mishelahem. You know what you get to do for the Jewish people? You get to help the Jewish people discover the greatness that exists within them. That's the role of a Kohen. That's what it means to inspire and to awaken. It means to find something within yourself that you feel can make a difference. To find opportunities and experiences that could ultimately make a difference. And that's what Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah is all about. And that's why we have to light that flame ourselves. There has to be a proactive effort and not left to the momentum of Hanacha Osa Mitzvah. Hanacha Osa Mitzvah only works in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Because there's a natural presence of God that is serving to continuously inspire and continuously illuminate our world. But once we walk out of that Mikdash, once we're trying to rededicate and recapture that sanctity and that experience, once we are trying to bring that sense of inspiration to a world where it feels like everything is so regular and so normative and so expected, that's when we have to access the moment of Bahalosa. That's where we have to access the moment where Aaron recognized that our mandate is to take the flame of the Mikdash and bring it to the rest of the world. And this is our goal. This is our goal for Hanukkah, and this is our goal for the chinuch of our children, that we can awaken within them. You know, it's fascinating when the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of chinuch for all of the different mitzvahs, for tefillin and tzitzis, he formulates it as that the child is chayiv to put on tefillin because of chinuch. The child is chayiv to put on tzitzis because of chinuch, midrabbanan, because of chinuch. He doesn't say the parent is obligated to put the tefillin on the child. The child is obligated, midrabbanan, because of chinuch. What do you mean the child is obligated? And the answer is because our goal with our Chanukah, our goal with our Chinuch, our goal in giving over that Mesorah to the next generation is to instill the motivation within them, that you awaken within them a desire and an aspiration. And here at Tzon, we should all find within this wonderful season of Chanukah the ability, the opportunity, and the capacity to be able to not only find that Hadlaka San Menorah for ourselves, but we can find for our children and our community at large and for the entire Jewish people. Have a wonderful Freilich and Chanukah.